The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
And Jesus began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they just said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone shall be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush them." The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them, but they feared the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Oh Lord, may your word come forth with great power today among us. May it glorify our Lord Jesus Christ, and may it transform our lives, making us more like him. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The Faroe Islands are located in the North Atlantic between Iceland and Norway. Only about 53,000 people live there. It's rugged country, filled with fjords and cliffs, sparse with vegetation, crazy weather. It just so happens that the people who live there are very good at building tunnels. It used to be that if you wanted to travel to one of the islands, perhaps you needed a hospital or supplies or some business there, you would have to go over a bridge, and it would take you about an hour to get there. But then they started to build tunnels. And the tunnels get you between the islands in minutes. Now, there's one particular one called the Eysturoy Tunnel that goes down under the North Atlantic. The project cost $700 million. It was just completed in 2020. It only took them 4 years to do it. And when you go down that tunnel and you go under the Atlantic Ocean, lo and behold, what you will come into is a roundabout. An underwater roundabout. And at that roundabout, there is artwork and sculptures, and in the middle, a rock formation with all different shades of lights hitting that rock formation. Now, if you haven't been here the last couple weeks, I've been talking about navigating the roundabouts of life. And I mentioned how I especially get confused in roundabouts, and I actually have an eyewitness who's here today that can testify to my driving in the roundabouts when I go places. I don't know. It's something spatial. I don't get it. I get confused. It's stressful. And then they have signs, particularly signs with no words, with just pictures. It makes it even worse. And as if going to through a roundabout isn't bad enough, this is an underwater roundabout. It's under the ocean. And why do they put things in the center of these roundabouts? Do we really need a distraction? I mean, even Mount Pleasant, they have the Doughboy, right? I get confused in that one. And then you got the Doughboy that you're looking at. In France, there's a particular roundabout with a historic airplane right in the middle. The Swiss, for some reason, have a giant record player or album. I don't know why, Fred, but the Germans have a giant geyser in the middle of this roundabout, and it is timed, okay? So you're trying to find your way through the roundabout, looking around, and all of a sudden, they have a geyser shooting up. We get mixed up. Sometimes that's the way life is. You find yourself going in circles, or else you find yourself getting off at the wrong exit. And for these past 3 weeks, we've looked at some of those exits. The first one was religion. And there were people who had the right religion, the right knowledge. They practiced the right traditions, said the right things. And Jesus said to them, "You say to me, Lord, Lord, we did this in your name, we did that in your name. Depart from me, I never knew you." They had religion, but they didn't have Jesus. The second week, we talked about Moses. And that exit on the roundabout was the "I'll take matters into my own hands" exit, right? And we saw where that led for Moses when he decided to be a deliverer and kill an Egyptian and take matters in his own hands. We saw where that led to 40 years in a very dry place at the parched mountain. There was no water. Last week, the story of the prodigal son. And he took the exit that leads to a place called rock bottom. Rock bottom. And we discovered that rock bottom is not really all that bad, because at rock bottom, when someone humbles themselves before God, he is there. He is there to bring them back. This week, Isaiah says, "Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters." He's not talking about the Estroy Tunnel. He's talking about the Israelites' deliverance from the Red Sea and from the Egyptians and through the Red Sea, and the power over all other earthly gods, delivering them through the water, making a way through the sea for Israel. But then he says something very shocking. "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old." Now, God continuously commands his people to remember. Remember the Sabbath, remember the Exodus, remember the Passover, remember when you were slaves in Egypt. Remember you wandered 40 years in the wilderness. Remember you crossed Jordan on dry land. Remember, remember. It's the most common command that God gives to Israel. To say "remember not" is shocking. And there are very few times when God says that. Al-Zahar. That's the phrase. Al-Zahar. Remember not. Now, one time that it's used is 2 Samuel 19:19. And this involved a guy named Shimei. Shimei is a member of Saul's family. And this is a point in 2 Samuel where David is king. He has established his throne. He has defeated his enemies. But his own son, Absalom, there's a rebellion. There's a coup. And Absalom rebels against his father. And David and his people have to get out of Jerusalem. They're going to die. It's a sad place in David's life where his own son has taken the throne from him. And David he's heartbroken and he's humiliated. And while he's on his march out of Jerusalem, this character, Shammai, it tells us that he is standing there on the roadside pelting David with rocks. He's throwing rocks at the king. And he's saying, "Get out! Get out, you scoundrel! Oh my! You're getting what you deserve. You're a man of blood. I'm happy you're getting thrown out of town." Of course, David's men say, "Let's kill that dog. Let's kill that dog." David says, "Let him go. My own son has broken my heart. Is there anything worse?" Well, when you get to 2 Samuel 19:19, guess what happens? Absalom is killed, and David is returning back to Jerusalem to claim the throne. And as he enters victoriously, Shammai in 1 Samuel 19:19 comes up and falls prostrate before him and says, "Remember not Al-Zahir, Al-Zahir, remember not how your servant did wrong on the day my servant left Jerusalem." What would you do? David forgave him and did nothing. Another time that this very unique phrase is used about not remembering is Psalm 25:7. David said, "Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways." I don't know about you, but as a young person, you can do some stupid stuff. You can do stupid stuff when you're old, too, but when you're young, you do some dumb stuff. You can have some very rebellious ways. You know, one time when I got my first job, I remember arguing with my parents because they wanted, I think, $70 a month for rent. And, you know, I can remember, I'm embarrassed by that now. I was a teenager. But really? All that they did for me, and I fought with them over that? Remember not the sins of my youth. Al-Zahir. Psalm 79, a psalm of Asaph. Do not remember. Al-Zahir. Remember not our former iniquities. And so in this roundabout that Isaiah is talking about, this roundabout of life, Isaiah says, don't take that exit that goes into the past. Don't take that exit that goes back. God is doing a new thing. Paul says a similar thing in Philippians 3. He says, this one thing I do, after he lists all of his credentials. Oh my, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and I'm a Benjamite, and I'm a Pharisee, and I'm a keeper of the law, and I'm zealous, and I'm blameless. And he lists all these things that he did, that he's proud of, that he glories in, that he accomplished. And he also lists some things that he feels pretty badly about, persecuting the church. And he says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind. Enough is enough. There is no future in the past. There is no future in the past. Enough. There's enough failure to go around. Enough about my failures. Enough about my parents' failures. Do you ever meet people that say, oh man, you know, I mean, they're way on in life and they're still mad at their mom and dad. Enough about hanging on to this stuff. Mistakes. Sins. Glorying in past accomplishments. Living in guilt. There is no future in the past. The future lies in the present, Paul says. I want to know Christ. I press on to know Christ. That's the future. That's God's new thing. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sin. It's like a race, Paul said. If you're running a race, try running it looking behind you and see how far you get. You won't get very far if you're stuck on what's behind you. Enough reliving it, living in it. Enough of the repeat, right? The repeat of the roundabout. Now, this is the last time I'll ever speak about a roundabout. First one I ever went through, 1980. Three of us took a motorcycle trip to New England. And we were going on a tour of New England, and we were set up to see a very well-known pastor and missionary that we knew. And he lived in, Worcester. I guess that's how they say it, Worcester. He lived in Worcester, Massachusetts. So we were lined up to have dinner with he and his wife, and we go into Worcester at rush hour and on our motorcycles. And lo and behold, coming into Worcester, I don't know if it's still there, but there was a roundabout. And this thing was, it was maddening. I don't know if it's still there, but all that I remember is that I got in this thing and, you know, my friend Russ was in the lead. Of course, you don't have a GPS. You don't have a phone in 1980. You take a map and you fold it up and you tape it on the gas tank of the motorcycle, okay? That's how you know where to go. So Russ is leading. And we're going around this thing, and I'm telling you, I know that I went around 6-7 times. I'd say, oh, I just saw that. There you go. Cars are blowing their horns. And oh, there it is again, you know. And Russ was real happy with himself for some reason. He thought he was doing a fantastic job. But we just kept going in circles. And sometimes, you know, that's what we do in life, isn't it? That's what we do. God says, I've done something new. I've provided a way in the wilderness, a river in the desert. If any man be in Christ or woman, they are a new creation. The old has passed away, and all things have become new. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.